So I'm not gonna try to figure it out. I'm just gonna speak it. My job is just a messenger. Amen. So you know, I'm a teacher, and so I don't like somebody just coming and tell me what God's gonna do and not know how to do it. I mean, you know, forget that mess. I mean, just tell me what, you know, you're gonna tell me what God's gonna do, tell me what God's gonna do, and I don't know how to access it. And so, you know, the word that God gave me, you know, prior to the service had to do with how he's going to do. But then in the middle of worship, he's telling me, I want you to tell him what I'm going to do. So I'm going to tell you what he's going to do, and I'm going to tell you how he's going to do it. Praise God. It's not hermeneutically, homiletically correct, but I'm going to just do what he told me to do. So this isn't part of the Richard. I didn't give you this verse, so it's in the Bible. You can just read it for yourselves. Look at it. We don't have to have it on the screen to read it, do we? How many of y'all have a Bible? Okay, you need to read your Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 23. Verse 21 says, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out. Everybody say, brought us out. He brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. And here's the word. Here's the word, what he's going to do for you in 2014. Then he brought us out. Everybody say, brought us out. He brought us out from there that he might bring us in. He brought us out. Say, he brought us out that he might bring us in. To give us the land. He brought us out. He brought us out of Egypt. He brought us out of sin. He brought us out of bondage. He brought us out of slavery. He brought us out of poverty. He brought us out of sickness. He brought us out of debt. He brought us out of carnality. He brought us out of all kinds of junk. He didn't just bring us out. He brought us out to what? To bring us in. And listen, God is bringing, in 2014, God is bringing us out of the old and into the new. He's bringing us out of bondage into, you know, freedom. He's bringing us out of debt and lack into abundance. He's bringing us out of sickness and disease and into health. Amen. He's bringing us out of oppression and depression into a land of encouragement. A land that flows with milk and honey. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's bringing us out, then he might bring us in. Come on, somebody get excited. He's bringing you out, then he might bring you in. And what is it? What is it you've been experiencing in 2013 that's not of God? He's bringing you out of that. He's not leaving you there. He's not leaving you in captivity. He's not leaving you in debt. He's not leaving you sick. He's not leaving you broke. He's not leaving your kids unsaved. He's bringing you out, you and your family, everything you've got, every hoof. Every hoof, of every child. He's bringing them out that he might bring them in. Praise God. You cannot stay the same unless you just want to. You want to stay stuck, just stay stuck. That's your, like Chuck, that's your business. But I'm telling you what God told me to tell while we're worshiping tonight. He said, tell them what I'm going to do. I tell them what I am going to do. He said he's going to bring you out that he might bring you in to a land that he promised you. And God promised it, and God promises to keep his promise. Hallelujah. Man, I don't know if that excites you. Man, I'm pumped up about that. Man, there's some grapes I hadn't tasted yet. Man, there's some miracles I haven't seen yet. There's some changes and transformation I haven't experienced yet. but I'm going to experience them in 2014. I'm going to walk on some land I hadn't walked on before. Praise God. I'm coming out. Say, I'm coming out. And God's bringing me out that He might bring me in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Man. Man, I just sit there reveling what God's saying. I'm just agreeing with Him. I said, I'm agreeing with Him. Philip, He's bringing us out. Whatever it is, wherever we look, whatever it looks like is impossible to you. That thing that looks the hardest, that thing that looks the most difficult, that thing that, you know, those walls that we talked about Sunday, they're 14 feet wide and 30 feet high. Man, they were impenetrable from the natural standpoint. But how many of you know, man, God, they obeyed God and they fell down flat. Your walls, whatever they are, those walls of unbelief, those walls that have seemed to be impenetrable are coming down. They're coming down in 2014. We are not people that draw back. Just because it hadn't happened, I'm telling you, God said, I'm just telling you, while we're worshiping, you know, God messed up my message. Not really, but I'm just telling, He told me, don't tell them how, tell them what, and then tell them how. Amen? He's bringing you out that He might bring you in. He's not leaving you the same. He's bringing you out of 2013, and He's bringing you into 2014 different than you were in 2013. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, I feel like Dale right now. Jesus. Hallelujah. Because I know what He's going to do. I said, I know what He's going to do. I know He's bringing us out and He's bringing us in. And I mean, I've faced all kinds of impossible situations. There's an impossible person sitting on the front row right here. Come here, Brian. Formerly impossible. Okay? This is my, stand up here by your dad. I'm still bigger than you. This is my oldest son, Brian. Isn't he an awesome man, good-looking guy? Praise God. And, you know, you've heard me tell a story or two before about my son. But my son, you know, he's got leadership in him. And the leader that he is tested just about every boundary we ever...
Just a little.
Huh?
Just a little.
Yeah. I mean, we tell him, you know, what, you know, the oven's hot, and he's going to get burned checking it out that it's hot, okay? But I mean, we, you know, the bottom line is, in fact, my wife came to me one time. She said, either he goes or I go.
Thank you for not giving up on me.
But you know what? I just knew what I knew that I knew. God gave us this son. And he's a leader in the kingdom. And we just determined, you know what? He's coming out of that. And he's not only coming out of that, but he's coming into his role in the kingdom. Amen. And we just decided that, you know, the devil came to us and told us all kinds of stuff, you know. Yeah, you're not good parents, and you know the word of God's not working, and God's not going to do that for you, and all this stuff. And while the devil was there, they said, "Well, Mr. Devil, while you're here, let me just talk to you a little bit here about what the word says." And I just got the Bible, started reading the Bible to him. That my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. That my children will speak with their enemies in the gate, and that means you, devil, you're going to rue the day you ever come against my son, amen. And a long story short, well, we sowed into some men in our church. We're spending time with them, and one of the things while spending time with them, I told them, look, you guys are going to have to go out and disciple someone else. And so Donald, who's about, was he 15 years older than you, something like that, he went after Brian and started to reach out to Brian, disciple Brian. And that was a lot of years ago. But I tell you, during those years, it looked impossible. But here he is on his own accord with his family. And Brian is a leader. I'm talking about he's not just half in. He's all in.
Amen.
I mean, he's all in.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, you talk about speak of the scripture. Mom would record scriptures when we would go to bed at night. She would put those in our bedroom. And I still hear that word going over and over in my spirit. And when the devil came in and I was out in the world, I mean, those scriptures start, when I turned my life back around, those scriptures were in my spirit, and it stirred back up. So don't give up. Don't lose hope. The word's alive in their hearts. That seed's there. God's going to bring the increase. Amen?
Amen. Stay right here. Amen. So if any of your children or grandchildren are in that state where Brian was, just stand up right now, because I'm telling you, he's bringing them out. And he's not just bringing them out. Listen, he's not just bringing them out. He's bringing them out that he might bring them in. I said he's bringing them out that he might bring them in. Praise God. Tanya, why don't you come up here with Brian? And I'm telling you, this is a wonderful, wonderful couple, not just because they're my son and daughter, but because they're my son and daughter. But because they're God's son and daughter. And man, they love God. They're great parents, great leaders in the kingdom. And I'm telling you guys, don't give up. God's going to bring your children out. Not one hoof shall be left behind. Not one. Amen. So Brian, you and Tanya, why don't you guys just pray for these children and grandchildren of these. Y'all just, hold them up before the Lord, because they're coming out. Amen. Go ahead, son.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, you said in your word in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham was ready to sacrifice, and you brought the sacrifice, Father. I thank you. By faith, these fathers and these mothers, they are taking a step of faith. They have planted the seed. They have planted the word. They have spoken. They have prayed. They have cried. You've seen them on their knees, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the increase, Jesus. I thank you for the word that's been planted in their hearts, Father. I thank you that those children, we call them up. Father, we reach down and we reach out from the low place. And Father, we know there's a high place. There's a high calling. There's a high purpose, a high vision that you have for their lives. They are not nothing. They are not insignificant. They are significant in your kingdom, Father. Father, I thank you. You send laborers across their path, Father. Father, you get them right where they're at. Father, in the clubs, in the byways, Father, under the bridge, in that drug deal, wherever it is, they see Jesus in the name of Jesus. They see your love. They see your power. They see your anointing.
Yes, Father.
And I thank you for it right now, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We call them in, Jesus, by faith, with power and authority.
Thank you,
when
Father.
The centurion sent his servant to Jesus, Jesus, you don't even need to come. Just speak the word. We speak the word of God over this situation. Whatever it is, your power will restore.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Go ahead and finish, Tanya. What have you got in your heart?
Father, I just thank you that every tear is not in vain. And Lord, I just speak to their hearts, Lord, that 1 second you can change their heart and they can come back to you, Lord. And I just speak in the name of Jesus. I call the laborers across their path. And I thank you, Lord, that no one is too far.
Hallelujah.
And I thank you, no one is too late, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And we break the power of the enemy and deception off of these children. We call them out of darkness, call them into the light. Yes. Father, we call them saved. We call them disciples of the Lord. And Father, what you've done for our children, Lord, you will do for theirs in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Appreciate you guys. Isn't that awesome? Man, they're powerhouses. I'm telling you, they're powerhouses. Thank you, Jesus. Man, and the devil's a loser. I said he's a loser. All right, so what is God going to do?
Bring us out,
bring us in. Bring us out that he might bring us in. All right? Now, do you want to know how to do it, how he's going to do it? Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Praise God. James 4 and verse 6. James 4 and verse 6 says he gives more what?
Grace.
He gives more what?
Grace.
He gives more grace. Amen. God promised to give us more grace here. And, you know, grace is a lot of things, but it really is everything God is, everything he has, all of his ability, which would include more fulfillment of him in your life and all that he's promised to us. It also has to do with our assignment grace. You know, he gives us more of what he's already promised to us within the scope of or sphere of the assignment he's given to us. Now, it was spoken of 2013 that 2013 was a year of grace. But I want you to look at 1 Peter 1, just turn over a page there, and verse 13. And I believe that. I believe 2013 was a year of grace. But we read already in James 4, 6, he's got more grace. So whatever grace you received in 2013, what does he have more of in 2014? He's got more grace. Okay? But look at 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the what? Upon the grace that is to be brought to you. How? How is grace brought to you? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. If we're going to receive more grace, then that's going to require, and if grace is brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ, then if we're going to receive more grace in 2013, then we're going to have to receive more revelation. Are you listening to me? And this is the word that God gave me for 2014, specifically for Calvary, but for the church. It is the year of more grace because it's a year of increased revelation to you and to me. Increased revelation to you and to me. Say increased revelation. That's the title of my message, because that's the word God spoke to me of how he's going to bring us out and bring us in, which would have to do with bring us out of less grace, bring us into more grace. It's going to be by increasing revelation in our lives. If revelation of Jesus is brought to us, I mean, if grace is brought to us at the revelation of Jesus, if we're going to experience more grace, it's going to require increased revelation of Jesus. That's not rocket science. You just put those two verses together. This is a year of marked increase of revelation to the body of Christ like never before. Marked increase. I'm talking about marked increase. I'm talking about mega difference between last year and this year even. In fact, some of you are going to walk in 2014 in more and receive more revelation, or as much revelation this year as you've received in all of your years prior. And as I talk to you about Sunday morning or Sunday, it's not just about you receiving your promised land for your sake, but it's because there is much work left to do. And it's going to take much revelation for us to walk in it. And you cannot exempt yourself, church, from this. This is not just for the priest. It's not just for the fivefold ministry. It's for you. Say it's for me. God's got more grace for you. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 12, 1, the Apostle Paul said, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Say, I will come in 2014 to increased visions and revelations of the Lord. In fact, verse 7 calls them abundance of revelations. And don't get all bogged down when he's talking about, there was given me a thorn in the flesh because of abundance of revelation. Listen, the only reason for that is you got more revelation about your authority over the devil. You don't have to worry about thorns he sends. Amen. You're a thorn to him. Praise God. I'm walking in abundance of revelation. I don't know about you. And this was, I had a guy, a friend of mine, speak a word to me about 2 years ago that he was increasing the revelation in my ministry. And I thought, well, that's a good thing. But the Lord said, no, that's not a good thing. That's what I'm going to do. Because you need it for your ministry and for what I want to do to people. The reason why God, what I want to do in people's lives. The reason why God's increasing it for me is because the people that I have influence with. He wants to increase it with them. Amen. And I'm telling you, man, I mean, I just sit and weep. God, why would you reveal this to me? Who am I? Well, just the Son of God. Just a man of God. Just called and anointed of God. That's called to take territory. Amen. And reach people. Who are you? You're the right. You're just the Son of God. The righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. With promised land yet to take. You know what it's going to take for you to take your promised land? Increased revelation. Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's talking to you tonight. Now look at Luke chapter 2. I know Pastor preached on this, but it came to me while he was talking to me about this, and then afterward, because I'd already been thinking about this. But look at Luke chapter 2, talking about Simeon, and verse 25 talks about Simeon, and then look at verse 26. And it had been revealed to him, to Simeon. Everybody said it had been revealed. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That was part of his promised land. It was revealed to him, right? You're not dying until you see the Lord's Christ. So he knew. He's going to possess that. But now watch this. Watch this. We see, many times we receive the promise, but how do we enter it? That promise was revealed to him. God showed him the dimensions of part of the promise of the promised land that he had for him, right? And of course, then he came in and blessed and prayed over his parents and over Jesus. But look at verse 27. So he came by what? He came by the Spirit into the temple. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do to him according to the custom of all the law. Look, it was revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. But he came by the Spirit into the temple. In other words, he walked in the fulfillment of what had been revealed to him the same way it was revealed to him. It was by the Spirit. Are you listening to me? Listen, guys, you don't walk into the land except by the Spirit. The way he revealed the what is the way he reveals the how and the when. It's by the Spirit. It's by revelation. And guys, we must walk in what we do by revelation. And I'm telling you, he's increasing more and more revelation to you. I said to you. Praise God. Okay, it was Sophie. Was that right? Okay, Sophie, listen. You don't come behind in any good gift. And you don't have to compare yourself with anyone else. God is, those songs that he's going to give you, I'm telling you, God himself is going to market those for you. God himself will market those for you. And because they lift him up. And you don't come behind or compare yourself to anyone. In Australia, I want to name names, but you know I won't. But anywhere where there's, doesn't matter. See, God is going to exalt himself through you by what he reveals to you. Not by your marketing techniques, not by, you know, I mean, all, God will use all the training and everything, but he's going to market. He's going to market your songs. Man, he's going to lift them up. You just need to put confidence in him. Father, we just agree that those songs you're giving her, Father, you're going to take them all over the world. We're going to sing those songs, and we're going to hear Sophie's songs in Jesus' name. Amen? It's by revelation. The same God that gave you the song is going to show you, you know, who to sing them to. But, you know, you just have to be faithful to sing before an audience of one or ten or whatever. You just know that it's going to set people free. Yeah? Praise God. So how did Simeon walk in the revelation that God had given him all those years before? By the Spirit. Yeah? Hallelujah. Then in Galatians 1, verse 12, look over there. Galatians 1, verse 12, it said the Apostle Paul preached the gospel. I'm paraphrasing because I haven't turned there yet, but preached the gospel that he received the gospel that he preached by revelation. No man taught him. Galatians 1, in verse 12, it says, "For neither I neither received it from men, from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through what? Revelation. Came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now listen, just so we can kind of keep a balance here, okay? You have to go on and read. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. "And I went up by what? I went up by what? I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel which I preach that he had received by revelation," right? No man taught him, right? He received it by revelation. But now here it says he went up by revelation to communicate with them the gospel he had received by revelation, which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who are of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. That is powerful. Two verses to put together there. Did you see that? What is he saying? The same Spirit, first of all, the gospel Paul preached, he received by revelation, not by education, right? But the same Spirit that revealed the gospel to him led him to communicate it to other leaders in the church, lest he might run or had run or discovered he'd been running his race in vain. So the things God reveals to us by the Spirit will both line up with the Word and will stand the test of accountability with other spiritual leaders. In other words, you can't just use this revelation God card and then not submit to other men. Paul didn't do that, did he? Did he? He received it by revelation, but by revelation, he also submitted himself to other men. So put that in your no submission pipe and smoke it. Amen? Now, let me just give you some verses, okay, about revelation. I'm just going to read these, and I think they've got them back there, so they may get them up as quick as I read. But Deuteronomy 29:29, and again, guys, I'm giving you some scriptural basis here, okay? But I'm telling you, man, my prophetic part of my life and spirit right now is just, I mean, it's churning, because I'm telling you, God said he's going to do this, but I want to give you enough scripture, okay, and give you a basis for this. He said he's going to increase revelation to you and me. I'm telling you, he's going to do it, and he's doing it so he'll bring us. He can bring. That's how he's going to bring us out to bring us in. That is how we possess the land of this man. This man of God's heart right here. Right here. That's how, by the way, him getting the revelation that God loved him and had a call on his life, that's how he came into a connection with his God called and ordained marriage and covenant mate. Because I promise you, Tanya would not have had anything to do with that boy B.C., you understand? That wasn't going to happen. Aren't you glad, son, that you, yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen? And so, Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those which are revealed belong to us and to our what? That we may do all the words of this law. Listen, revelation will bless our family. When you and I walk in revelation, it's going to not just bless us, it's going to bless our family. And it'll bless our spiritual children. And God said he's increasing revelation to us. This is not just, I'm not just saying this. This is what he's going to do. He's bringing increased revelation to you and me. So we can possess more. So we can receive more grace. If grace comes to us at the revelation of Jesus, he's said he's increasing revelation. Praise God, man. Jesus. Man. Hallelujah. And then it said that it'll stay with us forever. Only forever. Praise God. And it will help us to act on the word. Man. I mean, you know, you could just camp at any of these verses. I'm just going to read a few of them to you. 1 Samuel 3, verse 21. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord what? The Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So the word of God is our primary source of revelation. God's going to reveal himself to us through this word. And that's why we need to be in this word this year. Again, he said he's going to increase revelation to us, but if you never position yourself to read the Bible, you know, some of us have this idea, well, you know, I just don't get anything out of it when I read it. You just need to read it till you get something out of it. No, I'm serious. Look, my wife cooks wonderful meals, but I don't always know what's in it. I just enjoy it. I love Chinese food, man. But I sure don't know what's all in that. I don't know what's in that egg roll. But I know I like egg rolls. You know what I'm saying? You know, look, I don't have to understand everything in here to get something out of it. But I've got to position myself and be in it if I'm going to receive revelation. Because this is where it comes. It comes from the Word. And really, you know, the reason why we haven't received more revelation, a lot of us, is just because we haven't positioned ourselves to spend any time in this Word. And I'm telling you, I believe God's calling us as a church. I know He's calling us to receive more revelation, but if that's going to happen and the revelation comes through the Word, you and I are going to have to spend some time in the Word. No condemnation or no twisting of arm. But look, do you want more grace? Yes. Do you want God to bring you out and bring you in? Yes. Okay, it comes by revelation. And there's no shortcuts. So that means, you know, I don't care what your time of the day is to spend time with God, but when you do, read the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to make it real to you. Holy Spirit, would you reveal, when you inspired these men to write this, you know what you meant. Would you reveal it to me? And I'm telling you guys, you approach the Word like that, He's going to bring you out and bring you in. He's going to bring you into more grace. Yeah? Then Matthew 16, 17 through 19. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven." So did God reveal some things to Peter? He did. "And I say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." On what rock? Well, was it on Peter? Yeah. But specifically, what was it? The same thing it is for you and me. It's what God the Father revealed to Peter. I'm going to build my church on what I reveal to my church. I'm going to advance my kingdom by what I reveal to those in my kingdom. That's how I do it. God builds His kingdom through revelation and relationship. I thought about that the other day. I was just telling Pastor recently. You know, I was talking to my wife, and you know where Janice and I have favor is where God's connected us in relationship. You know, for years and years and years, we were in the Word of Faith movement, and we looked, and most of those men, great men of God, didn't have a revelation of the importance of relationship. They didn't. A lot of them were fatherless. But I was looking for a father who could help me walk this thing out and I could be accountable to. And I looked far and wide for years. And I finally, in 1994, I found my father in the faith. And I told Pastor, I said, "It's because you're full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom." I was looking for someone full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. I didn't care how big of church it was. Although, I mean, it helped that there was fruit, but I want someone full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. I want someone that is in faith, has faith and vision. I want somebody who walks in character and who is available. Not for my every whim, but if I was in a crisis, I could pick up the phone and he would return my call. And Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols were that for Janice and I. And you know what? I just told him, when my dad passed away, I said, "You're stuck with me." And you know, I don't bother him, really. I don't. I mean, for all those years, I might call him two or three times a year. Usually I'm, "Help," you know, or something at first. But you know, I saw a real father in the faith right here. And they would bless me and encourage me. But the thing, he'd also speak the truth in love to me. And I needed that. And we need that. Are you listening to me? And he walks in revelation. I got the revelation. I needed accountability. And I needed that relationship. And God has built His kingdom in Janice and me through our relationship with Pastor Bob and Joy. in Calvary Cathedral International, and increased revelation. So what the revelation that's in him is in me, and I'm now we're the fruit of their ministry, like many of you are. But listen, that's how God builds his kingdom, guys. It's by revelation. Everybody say revelation. And relationship. There's no shortcut. Now watch this. And I say to you, you're Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, or Hades will not prevail against it. I'm going to give you the key. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So revelation knowledge is not natural knowledge, but it's spiritual knowledge and understanding from the Father. Revelation knowledge to his church is how he builds his church. And it also brings us into greater dimensions of spiritual authority. Amen? Now look, each of these, you could, you know, you just take them and read them and you get more out of it as you read it. But look at 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. I'm going to give you two or three more verses here. And then I'm going to tell you how I receive personally, how I receive revelation. I'm going to tell you how I receive revelation. I want to talk to you about the practical ways, real tangible ways that I receive revelation so I can pass it on to you, okay? Then what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray. We're going to pray over anyone wants prayer to stir up revelation. And I'm going to impart to you what God's imparted to me. And I'm going to tell you, guys, if God is God, then he is, and he keeps his promises, and he does, then increased revelation will be yours in 2014. And in subsequently more grace, subsequently he'll bring you out that he brings you in. Amen? All right, so I'm just giving you some verses here, and we're going to pray. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed. Everybody say, he's revealed. He's revealed them to us through his what? His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. So here he tells us that revelation also comes by the Spirit. So just you praying in the Spirit, you seeking God, you know, worshiping God, revelation comes that way as well. And all revelation given by the Spirit also lines up with his word. Then Ephesians 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Listen, guys, it's appropriate to pray for revelation. Yes? But notice here, he said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Colossians 1:9 says that, let me just read it. Colossians 1:9. For this reason also, and I know I'm giving you several scriptures, but just now I'm done with this part. We do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So, all right. A good friend of mine who is also the dean of students at Caris Bible College said this: wisdom and revelation get filtered through our understanding. See, revelation comes to your spirit, understanding comes to your mind. And the more understanding you get, the more appropriate the revelation, the application of the revelation you receive will be. Does that make sense? See, if he's going to increase revelation to us, then we also need increased understanding. Let me just give you an example of that. Peter, he didn't always process revelation right, did he? Remember, he had a revelation of Jesus at the transformation. He said, well let's build three tabernacles here. He didn't understand what that was a visitation was about, did he? Remember Peter, you know, he prayed, one time he gets revelation that this is the Christ. The next thing he says, you know, well, no, Lord, you can't die for the world, for the sins of the world. You can't do that. But how many of you know that's no bueno? Yeah? Understanding the balance and priority of both, in other words, let me just give you another example. Understanding the difference between positional truth and practical application truth is huge in terms of revelation. A lot of people get revelation of positional truth and they throw the baby out with the bathwater. We don't, everybody that's walking, that teaches anything about obeying, obedience, you know, any of that stuff, I mean, that's law now. Well, they don't understand practical application truths that half of the New Testament talks about. You have to have understanding. Yeah? A lot of people, like my friend Barry Bennett says this also, you know, a lot of teaching nowadays is like a love sandwich. God loves us all, and then they fill the sandwich with doctrinal error. And at the other side of the sandwich is, you know, that now we all must love one another and eat the error. How many of you know that's not good balanced understanding? That truth works with love. Amen? And so we have to have understanding, and we have to ask God to give us understanding. And when He does, we can apply revelation rightly. Hallelujah. Understand that there's a balance between Galatians 6:2 that says we're to bear one another's burdens and Galatians 6:5 that said everyone is to bear their own burden. There's a balance. If you have to have understanding that I'm not going to yield to guilt and condemnation whenever I don't have joy in giving, because God's called me to be a cheerful giver. But I understand if I'm not cheerful about it, it's probably because that's not where He's called me to give. And I'm not going to feel guilty about that. Do you understand? See, we've got to ask God and pray for understanding, that our mind would be watered with understanding so we can properly apply the revelation we're receiving. Does that make sense? That's powerful insight. Now, I want to give you just some real simple things. And you know, you can get the CD or whatever if you want to. I want to give you some real simple ways how I receive revelation. I'm just going to give these to you. I'll give you enough time to, if you want to write them down. But first of all, is just feeding on the Word. Just feeding on the Word in my devotional time with God. So just number one, you could just write down, feeding on the Word. In my devotional time with God, with my goal to seek and know the Lord instead of seek a message to teach. That's number one ways I receive revelation. I'm just reading the Bible, and then usually what happens is, I'll get a revelation, you know how the Lord will stop you at one verse? And then you think about another verse, and another verse over here that ties in with all that. Remember, you know how that is, Ernest? And okay, and so that verse He stops me at, that's my hub verse. And in my Olive Tree soft Bible software program, I go to my notes. And then I write the subject of whatever that is. But that hub verse, then it's got spoke verses. You know what I mean by that? And I've got spoke verses all over that take me back to the hub. And that's how I get most of my messages. You see that? Just feeding on the Word, just like that. And I just gave you one example of how I get revelation by connecting all the spoke verses, Morgan, with the hub verse. And all these other verses connect together and gives me a picture of what God's wanting to say. Are you listening to me? Okay, so Number one, feeding on the Word. Number two, just seeking God how to help others. You know, I'm praying for somebody who's hurting, praying for somebody who's going through something. You know, pastor all the time, he's calling me, Greg, pray with me about so-and-so or whatever. And I ask him how he's doing. He's always asking me to pray for somebody else. And I start seeking God about how to help other people. And when I'm seeking Him about that, you know, somebody that's bound, somebody that needs wisdom, whatever, revelation comes to me. When I'm not thinking about me, I'm thinking about others, okay? So seeking God about how to help others. Then number three, when I'm praying about what to share with you, or if maybe you're going to speak it, maybe you're going to speak at Bible college, maybe you're going to go out and do a message, you're just praying about the group or the individual God's sending you to. Just, you know, Lord, just show me what you want to do. You know, God, there's a lot of verses in here. What do they need? And so I'm praying, I'm seeking God. What I do is more often than not, I just feed people out of the overflow. Whatever's coming up in abundance, then I feed them that. And I get revelation that way. It's awesome. Then number four, while I'm teaching the Word or ministering to people or while I'm counseling people. Man, I can't tell you the number of times I'm counseling people. And first of all, I'm counseling people that are messed up. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, man, the tangled webs that people weave. And I'm thinking, man, you are one messed up. I'm thinking, and I don't say it. You're one messed up person. And then the next thing I do, man, thank God for my wife. Thank God for my pastor. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for, you know. But while I'm counseling, while I'm teaching, even right now, many times the Holy Ghost will speak to me. And so while you're ministering to others, revelation will flow. Listen, write it down, because many times it's for you, not just for them. Yeah? I remember Paul Milligan one time, me and him were ministering. I've shared this before, I think. This demon-possessed girl, or oppressed or something, she was wall-to-wall demonized. And, man, she was up and down the, really, seriously, up and down the walls. She would levitate on the wall. And I'm thinking, Jesus, come out, you know. But he said something, Paul Milligan said something to her, and I just forget about her. I couldn't get her free. And I'm not really, but I mean, you know, we did all we could to help her. But Paul said, to fear God is to fear nothing else. And while we're ministering to her, God set this pastor free. To fear God is to fear nothing else. It was awesome. So while you're teaching, ministering to other people. And then, you know, many times, number five, just when I'm going through some kind of crisis myself, you know, you kind of seek God about that, don't you? You seek God. And I've had revelation. I told Pastor that during the prayer revival, I got more revelation in the middle of our crisis, in the middle of our, you know, we're going through involuntary church plant and all kinds of stuff. My worship leader took a third of my congregation down the street and all of that. And man, God, I mean, that was in the midst of that. I was complaining one time, and in the middle of that prayer revival, the Lord said, well, son, what are you complaining about? My worship leader took a third of my congregation too. You're in good company. He revealed that to me. One time I'm in this prayer revival and I'm praying about my situation, and you know, God, you know what do I do? I mean, all these people are saying all this stuff about me. He said someone else's father spoke that about you, not me. And that just set me straight. Revelation comes when you're sometimes just seeking God in the midst of a crisis. Then while I'm listening to pastor or someone else teach, I get revelation from the Word. Then that's number, what is that, six? And then number seven, while I'm refuting error. And I'm telling you, there's so much error on Facebook today. Jesus. Let me tell you something, guys. Not everything you hear and see on Facebook is truth. I just start asking questions many times. But while I'm refuting error, you know, and just asking the question, you know, because Jesus died for everybody, does that mean everybody's saved automatically? No, but some people are teaching that, and it's a lie from hell. Are you listening to me? And so you just, what happens is when I'm refuting error, man, it gets me into the Word, David. I start getting into the Word. Now I know, look, I understand I could be preaching and getting you all excited about what God's going to do. But I'm telling you, I can't just tell you that He's going to give you revelation, not tell you how to get it. And I'm telling you how I get revelation. This is how I get it. This is how it comes to me. And then number eight is just by observing other people's lifestyle patterns, you know, their successes, their failures. I'm just an observer of people. And I learn as there's as much in life about revelation that I learn about what to avoid. And if you want to mature as a Christian, listen, get your spiritual ears and perk them up right now. If you want to grow as a Christian, then learn how to do this. Learn how to judge what people do in light of the Word, in other words, their fruit, without judging them. And what I mean by that is, I can judge what they do, whether it's as it lines up with the Word, as it's right or wrong, and as it pertains to me, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to avoid that by your grace, Lord. But I'm not going to judge the motive of why they did it. Nor am I going to pass judgment on them of what they deserve because of what they did. Now, if you can do that, you mature. If you don't, you just let the rough end drag. Now, I've got the airport in sight. We're coming in for landing, and I'm going to pray for some people, okay? 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, how is it, brethren, when you come together, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you, everybody say each of you, has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a what? Has a what? Revelation. Everybody say revelation. Revelation. Say each of us has revelation. Don't give me that garbage that you don't have it. Say, I've got it. More increased revelation belongs to you in 2014. Increased revelation. It belongs to you. Say, it belongs to me. God said He's going to bring you out that He might bring you in. And it's going to happen, in other words, more grace. But it's going to happen by revelation. What He reveals to you. God builds His church, advances His kingdom by what He reveals to the church. And guess what? That's you. That's me. That's old. That's young. That's new. That's, you know, all of us. Male, female. Yes? All of us. Young people. More grace, more fulfillment of the will of God, promises of God, and advancement of the kingdom will be the result. Two more verses. Is this okay tonight?
Yes.
I'm just telling you what God, I'm reporting to you what God told me, and I'm telling you how I get it. Proverbs 29:18. And you know, we read this in the King James, and it says, where no vision is, the people perish. But watch this. In New King James, it translates it different. It says, where there is no what? Where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Listen, guys, people need, the world needs, the church needs leaders who live by and walk by revelation. The world needs a church body who lives by revelation. We need your revelation. The world needs your revelation of Jesus. The world needs your revelation of Jesus. One more verse. Psalm 85. Psalms 85, verse 6 through 8. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Will he revive us? Is revival a scriptural principle? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear, everybody say, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Say, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I will receive revelation that God has for me. God will bring me out and bring me into what he has for me. He will give me more grace, but he gives it to me at the revelation of Jesus. And I'm open to receive increased revelation of Jesus. Amen? That's what he's going to do. That's what his choice is. That's what his will is. And if you receive it, my wife and I are going to lay hands on you, and we're just going to activate and stir up and impart revelation. Just come forward. We'll lay hands on you, and we'll try to get it done. Well, we have 5 minutes or so before. Praise God. I'm not going to take a long time. Just come.